Yeshayahu Anovi, Perek Mem, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, Yomar Elokechem, Dabru Alev Yushalayim, Vikiru Eleha, Kimalot Sva'a, Kinirza Avona, Kilakha, Miyad Hashem, Kiflayim Bechol Chatoseha. This is the Nevuah of Nechama, of Yeshayahu HaNavi. The question I'd like to focus on today is the double language, Nachamu, Nachamu. We'll begin with Rabbeinu Bechai in his famous work, Kara Kemach. According to Rabbeinu Bechai, Nachamu, Nachamu, the double language, is Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attribute is a measure for a measure. Afkan, here's an example of Mida Keneged Mida. Omar, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, the Nechama is a double Nechama, and that parallels Lefi Shechatu B'Kiflayim, because the chait itself that caused the destruction was a double chait, and therefore requires a double nechama. Shenemar chata, chait chata Yushalayim. Not only was the sin a double sin, but the punishment was a double punishment. Vilaku b'kiflayim. Shenemar ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim. V'roy, and therefore if both the chait and the punishment was kiflayim rosh yisnachamu b'kiflayim, they need a double nechama shenemar nachamu nachamu ami. And our goal for today is to try and understand what this kiflayim is all about on three different levels: on the level of chait, on the level of laku, they were punished, and finally on the level of nechama. And the key to unlock this mystery, perhaps, is in the famous Agadita at the end of Masechta Makis. And we're all familiar with this Agadita, and I'd like to suggest one interpretation of the Gemara, and then, as we go along, another perspective on this Gemara. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elaz ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. These were, of course, the great Tanoim of their time, Mahalchim Badorech. They're on their way. Now, in the first story, which is on Chav Dalet Omer Aleph, towards the bottom of the page, they hear the noises, Kol Hamona Shel Romi. The Romans are just bursting into the streets, in all directions. They're living, shall we say, the good life, having conquered Eretz Yisrael. Miyad eschilu bochim. And of course, the Tanoim, with the exception of Rabbi Akiva, broke out in tears. And Rabbi Akiva mesachek. Rabbi Akiva is happy. Omer lo mipnei ma'ata mesachek. Why are you happy, Rabbi Akiva? Omer lehem, V'atem, mipnei ma'atem bochim. Amrulo, you're asking us why we're crying? Goyim halalu, shemishtachvim, liatzovim, mekatrikim, umekatrin, liavodos kochovim, yoshvim, betach, vehashket. As if to say, where is the divine justice? These are the goyim who worship stones, and they bring a ktores for the idols, and they're sitting securely and enjoying the land. Vianu, and look at us, Beis Hadom Rabbi Elokeinu Sarof Biesh, our house of worship, the great Makom Ashchina, the Beis Hamikdash, is completely burnt in fire, v'lo nivken, we shouldn't cry. Amar lehem, Rabbi Akiva responds, l'kach ani mitzachek. That's exactly why I'm laughing. Mali liovrei ritzono kach. If those who violate the words of Hashem and the will of God, and yet God bestows upon them some sort of pleasure or benefit in this world, is liose ritzono alachas kama v'kama? Could you imagine? Multiply it myriads of times to picture in your mind how much schar, how much benefit will be, how much reward will be bestowed on those who fulfill his ratzon. Now, in this case, we find this dialogue, but we don't find what I call the admission. You know, very often you have a controversy, and one side convinces the other. At this point, the Gemara, as far as I can tell, has not recorded any confession on the part of the Tanoim that Rabbi Akiva is correct. But then we go on to read what I call part two of this Agadata. And the Gemara tells us, Shuv pam'achas hayu olim liyushalayim, the same group of friends, of colleagues, of scholars are on their way to Yerushalayim. Kevan shehigiyu laharat sofim, when they got a good view from on top of the Harabayis, koru bigdeyem. Kevan shehigiyu laharabayis, they got close and they climbed onto the har. Ra'u, they were able to see from a distance, shu'al sheyotzim beis kodesh hakadoshim. Hischilu heim bochim v'Rabbi Akiva metzachek, a repeat performance. Amrulo mipnei mato metzachek. Amrulo mipnei mato bochim. Why are you crying? Amrulo mokum shekosu bo vazar hakorev yumas. This is the holiest of places. An alien, a non-kohen, is not allowed to go into that place. It's the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Achshav Shu'olim Holchubo, and the foxes are walking there. V'lo Nivke. What kind of a question is it? Amar lehem l'kachani mitzachek. That's exactly why I'm laughing. Tichsiv, Yeshayo Anovi says, Va'ido li edim ne'monim. I have two reliable witnesses, two Nevi'im, and we trust their Nevu'ah. One is very negative, and one is very positive. As Uriah HaKohen, Vezcharia Ben Yavchio, V'chimai Unyan. But why would Yeshayo HaNavi quote these two Nevi'im in one breath? After all, they lived in different historical periods. Uriah lived B'Migdash Rishon, Zechariah B'Migdash Sheni, Ella, but rather what Yeshayo HaNavi is conveying is a conceptual interdependence of two prophecies. Elatola HaKosev Nivuaso Shal Zechariah B'Nivuaso Shal Uriah. The fulfillment of the prophet of the positive and joyful prophecy of Zechariah is contingent upon the fulfillment of the very negative nevuah of Uriah. B'Uriah k'siv, l'chein b'glalchem, because of your sins, Tzion soda techrash. There'll be a harisha, there'll be an absolute plowing of Tzion, of the Makom HaMikdash. But b'Zechariah k'siv, O yeshvu zkenim uzkenos berchovos Yerushalayim. The elders, the grandfathers, the grandmothers will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. There'll be throngs of people in Yerushalayim. Says Rabbi Akiva, Ad shalo niskaima nivuaso shel Uriah. Hayisi misyare shalo tiskaim nivuaso shel Zechariah. Achshav she niskaima nivuaso shel Uriah. Biyadua she nivuaso shel Zechariah miskayemes. Ubeloshen hazeh, here's the confession. Amrulo, Akiva nichamtoni, nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu. Now, I'm not going to say the Siyum on Masechet Makis today, because for that we would need a lot of Tuesdays. But what I do want to point out before we get into the, I call it the kishkis of this Agadata, I would like to point out one or two things just superficially, so to speak, just milamala. One thing I want to point out is that there are many, many Nevi'im that both on the positive side prophesized the good, and on the negative prophesized and foretold the evil of Churban, of destruction, of Golus and dispersion. It wasn't only Uriah. Uriah is a less well-known Navi. I mean, you could talk about full-fledged Nevuahs of Yeshayo and descriptions of Yirmiyo and many other Nevi'im. Why the connection here between Uriah and Zechariah? That's one question. And a second question I wanted to ask you is, is there a direct link between the words of Uriah, of Harisha, of the Mokom HaMikdash, the plowing of the site of the destruction of the Mikdash, and the Shu'olim Holchubo, and the fact that the fox was seen, or the foxes were seen, going out of the Kodesh Kadosh? And again, Rabosai, what I say now is just my own feelings about this Agadata. I have for you, Mirtz Hashem, as we move along, an entire Maimer here of the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. He has four other questions that he wants to address, not the questions that I wanted to address. But you know, everybody wants to say what they have to say, so I'm going to ask you to tell me if you can relate to this insight. And then we'll go through the four questions, the fear caches of the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. I would like to suggest the following answers to my two questions.
Sorry, what was the question with the fox?
My question is, what's this concept of Harisha, Tzion, Soda Tichrosh, and the foxes? And the second question is, why these two Nevi'im were singled out?
Can I ask a question before you start, Rabbi?
Well, let's hold that question until we get to the four questions of the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, and then we'll add more questions. I just want to say one yesod that I think might shed a light on this Agadata, and then we'll go through the four questions and Eli, your questions. I would like to suggest the following. What Rabbi Akiva wants here is what I call contrast. Contrast means menakotza elakotza, two polar opposites, two descriptions that go from one extreme to the other. What is this concept of Harisha? The Goyim are not happy, they're not satisfied with just destroying the Beis HaMikdash. What they want to accomplish is to completely alienate the Jewish people from the Mikdash in such a way that the Jewish people will never even dream of returning to the Beis HaMikdash. There are two goals here, two objectives. One is to destroy the Churban, the Mikdash. Number two is to completely sever any connection between the Jewish people and the Beis HaMikdash. What's the concept of Harisha? And why are the foxes occupying the Mokom HaMikdash? It's not enough that I destroy the Mikdash. There are many archaeological diggings that you can visit today where the buildings were destroyed, but there still is some vestige, there's still some foundations. You can put up a sign and say, here stood once upon a time a building. Not so after Harisha. Harisha means we're going to plow up the area. It's going to be totally desolate in such a way that even foxes will find a natural habitat on that area. Because keep in mind, a fox is clever, is he not? When a fox calls the other foxes to come, he's telling them, I invite you to this place because we'll never have any problems with human beings. This place is absolutely desolate. And that's why when the Chachamim saw the foxes coming out. Shualim hilchu bo. The word hilchu in Lashon HaKodesh is in the grammatical causative, what's called hifil. It doesn't say shualim holchu bo. It says hilchu bo. Hilchu means when I invite you to join me on a walk. And that's what the foxes did. They called over their friends. They says, you know what? This is the most desolate spot on the face of the earth. Here's where we want to establish our tribe. And I want to tell you a story. I don't know if you ever heard this story from me. It's one of the most, in my mind, a powerful story. My Rebbe said that after the war, he met a Jew from Vilna. Now keep in mind, the Nazis destroyed 250,000 Jews in Vilna and its immediate surroundings. There was a street in Vilna that was known as the Street of the Shuls, and that every single type of shul you could imagine. On Yom Kippur, there were literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews that occupied that street. And one survivor tells the following story to my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. He said, after the war, it was coming close to Yom Kippur time, and I was liberated by the Americans. I wanted to go back to Vilna. I wanted to see the house where I was brought up in. My mother, who was killed, was a tzaddikess. She, like all the women in Vilna, were dedicated to Torah study and so forth and so on. So he came back to Vilna. He first visits that street. Nothing's going on. The entire street is completely desolate. No people. The shuls are half destroyed. And then in the afternoon, he makes his way over to his house. But I forgot to tell you one important piece of this story. His mother, the tzaddikess, used to feed a cat. And there was a cat that knew that every day at 4 o'clock, she would put out food for the cat. This man comes into his house on the day of Yom Kippur. And at 4 o'clock, he hears a knock on the door. And who is it? It's the cat. At that point, he was totally overwhelmed. He felt the entire weight of the Holocaust, of the destruction, falling on his shoulders. That cat represented the total desolate destruction of the city of Vilna to that Jew. Why is it that Rabbi Akiva quotes this pasuk in order to be Menachem, his friends, his colleagues? Why is it that Yeshayahu HaNavi puts together two Nevi'im, Uriah and Zechariah? And the answer is, it's contrast. What Uriah is telling us is that the Goyim converted the Harabayis into total desolation. They did Harisha, they plowed it up. There's no vestige or memory of this place. It's desolate. Let the foxes come and set up their home. Not so Zechariah HaNavi. What Zechariah HaNavi is telling us is that normally when you have a crowded, populated area, the youngsters like to go into the streets. They walk the streets. The elderly statesmen, the Bubbies and the Zaydis, they more or less stay at home. Maybe they sit out on the porch and watch what goes on below. In my area where I was brought up, there was something called Brighton Beach, and that's where all the Alta Yidnas used to sit outside and watch everybody walk on the beach, on the boardwalk. Says Zechariah HaNavi, where are you going to find this Zekanim and the Zekanas? In the chutzos of Yerushalayim. You know why? Because there's no room in the houses. Because Yerushalayim is so overcrowded with people that even the Zekanim and the Zekanas are going to have to walk the streets of Yerushalayim. It's the exact contrast to what Uriah was saying. And here I want to present to you another approach to this Agadita. This is the Chevron Rosh Hashiva of David Cohen Shlita. He has four kashas. I call it the fear kashas on this Gemara. Question number one. He wants to understand, how could Rabbi Akiva say, Hayisi misyore shalotiskayem nevuaso shal zchar? I was afraid that the nevuah of Zechariah would never come to pass. Frek the Rosh Hashiva. The Rambam writes in his Yud Gimel Ikrim, Ani mamin be'emuna shleim shekol divrei ha-neviim emes. And the Rambam writes that if a person questions the veracity, the truth of a Navi, he is a kofer be'ikar. How could Rabbi Akiva possibly say, I was worried, I was concerned, maybe Zechariah's nevuah would not come to pass? And secondly, I don't get it, says the Rosh Hashiva. Why is Rabbi Akiva hesitant to explain his laughing? First he says, no, mipnei ma'atem bochim. They asked him, mipnei ma'atom etzachek. They asked him a question, they deserve an answer. Oh no. He refuses to give them an answer until they commit themselves to justify why they're crying. Third question. The Gemara tells us two stories. The first story, the Romans are out there in the streets and they're having a good time. We don't find that the Amoraim, that the Tanaim, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Yeshua answered Rabbi Akiva's argument with Nicham Tani. Why is it that only after the second story, the second dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanoim, do we find Rabbi Akiva, Nicham Tani? And finally, the last question, why does Rabbi Akiva evoke a double response? Why couldn't it be enough? Amru lo, Akiva Nicham Tanu. Why the double language of Nechama? And this, of course, takes us back to our first question, Yeshayo Anovi's Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, the double language of Nechama. Eli, the floor is yours.
Okay, so, the first question is about the first question was my question. That's the answer, okay? But I have a different question. The whole idea, the concept of a double lashon, as far as I know, in the Gemara, always means that it's emphatic. It means it will be. It will surely be. So that's what the double lashon is. It says, don't worry, it will surely be a nechama.
That's definitely a valid answer. But I think, Eli, that when you hear Mirtz Hashem in the next 20 minutes or so, the Rosh Hashiva's answer, it's going to be a beautiful answer. I'll tell you why. Your answer is also great, but the beauty of the Rosh Hashiva's answer, as we'll soon see, is that he ties together so many things and answers so many questions with one fundamental breakthrough. And it's going to explain the Rabbeinu Bechai's insight into Nachamu Nachamu Ami. But what I'd like to ask you to do now is open up a Gemara in Yuma. If you have the first page of the Mar Makomos, you'll see it on Daf Nundalin Amid Beis. The Gemara talks about the fact that when the Goyim entered into the Heichal, the holies in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to destroy it. A very famous statement in the Agadata. Amar Eish Lakish, Bishar Shenichnesu Nachrim LaHeichal, Ra'u Kruvim Hama'urim Zebazeh. What they witnessed was that the Kruvim on top of the Aron were embracing each other. And this is very, very difficult. The one who points out this Kasha is the great Rosh Hashiva, the Mir, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And he writes the following. Just give Chaim Shmulevitz asked the following question. And he quotes the Ritva, who was the original makshan of this question, and you'll see this in Reb Chaim Sichos Musa on the top of page 2, and on the bottom right column he quotes the Ritva. The Ritva asks the following question. The Gemara in Baba Basra, which is on the bottom of your page 1 on Daf Tzadites, tells us that what is the significance, what is the message of the Kruvim Me'urim Zebazeh when they embrace each other? And the Gemara establishes a principle B'shoshi Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, when HaKadosh Baruch was satisfied with the Jewish people, in order to send them a message, an os v'simon, likirvasam, for their closeness to Avinu Shebashamayim, then the kruvim amurim zebozeh. So the Ritva really leads us to ask the following question. And the question is so blatant and bold, almost obvious, jumping out of the pages of the Gemara in Yuma. How could it be that at the moment of the Churban Abayis, when the Nachrim enter into the Heichal, at that moment they see the Kruvim Me'urim Zebozeh, a symbol of God's love and satisfaction with the Jewish people? L'chora, we would have said it's the exact opposite. At this moment, the Jewish people are not osim ritzono shel makom. Why are the kruvim me'urim zebazeh? And again, Reb Chaim Shulevitz has an answer. Maybe we'll have a chance to see that later. But for the moment, I would like to leave his answer on the side and point out to you a question that I'm sure you've all asked yourselves every Tisha B'Av, and that is, if you take a look at the last kina of Tisha B'Av, which you'll see on the bottom left of page 5, Elit Zion V'Yareha, the Python, the Bala Kina, compares Zion to Isha B'Tzireha, to a pregnant woman who is crying out in labor, about to give birth. And of all symbols, of all the metaphors that he could have chosen, this, which is the apex of Akinis on Tisha B'Av, he chooses the situation of a woman who's giving birth. Then he goes on, and he compares Tzion kibesula charuga sak al baal nireh, to a woman who's never had a relationship, and yet she lost her husband, the husband of her youth. Can we possibly shed a light on this analogy or this metaphor in Elit Zion? I want to talk to you for one moment about the period of time which we just culminated, beginning on Shivas B'Tammuz with the Bein HaMetzarim, ending yesterday, day before yesterday with Tisha B'Av, and now the period beyond. We have Dine Avelus, we have Minhage Avelus. And the entire structure, and we've spoken about this in the past, of the laws of Avelus during the 3-week period is what we could call Mosif Baholech, if we could borrow a phrase from Beis Hillel in Ner Chanukah. We start on Shivas B'Tammuz with Minhagim. We refrain from shaving, we refrain from going to weddings, listening to music. And then the Avelus intensifies from Rosh Chodesh Av during the 9 days. And at that point, there is an Iser of Kibbutz and Tispores. We get to the Shavua Shachalbo, and we add other Minhagim, other Avelus, until we finally reach the apex of Tisha B'Av. We fast. We have all the Inuyim, we have all the Avelus, we sit on the floor, etc., etc. And this is the Seder. And according to this Seder, which is obviously an ascending order and climbing up, getting more and more intense, the most intense moment of our 3 weeks of mourning should logically be Mincha on Tisha B'Av. And the reason I say this is because the Gemara tells us, which you'll see on page 3 of Masechta Tainis, that on Mincha time, on Tisha B'Av, the enemies lit the torch to the Beis HaMikdash. When was the Mikdash destroyed? It wasn't at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, it wasn't in the middle of Tisha B'Av, it was towards Mincha time of Tisha B'Av. That's when the Churban reaches, if you will, its apex. And yet, paradoxically, we find a drop, a descent, the order of Avelus that had the Avelus intensify step by step. Now, takes a reverse, and instead of intensifying the avelus at mincha, the exact opposite happens. We put on our tefillin, we wrap ourselves in a talis, tefillin which is called pe'er, it's an ornament of beauty. We refrain from wearing tefillin in the morning because of avelus and avel. Avelus and tefillin are antithetical, and yet now, dafka mincha time, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, which you'll see on that same page, noagim shelo laniach tefillin b'tishah of shachris, but b'mincha manichem tzitzis utfillin u'mevarchem aleihem. And strangely enough, the Mishnah Brura, to sort of give us some sort of explanation, begins by telling us b'mincha, this is Mishnah Brura Sivkat and Gimel, az hitzisu esh b'migdash. That's when they burnt the Beis HaMikdash. Very strange. So the Mishnah Brura, in order to answer this question, how could it be that at the moment that the Mikdash is set to fire, we are going to wear tefillin and wrap ourselves in talesim? How could that be? Says the Mishnah Brura, Yesh Omrim, he says, Laharos, Kedei Laharos Nechama, Be'evlenu, Bo Bayom. Isn't this very paradoxical? At the moment that the Mikdash is going up in smoke, that's when we want to demonstrate Nechama? It's antithetical to our natural intuitive response. When we get to this moment of the epitome of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash of Churban, we should be intensifying our avelus. This is not the time for Nechama. But my friends, everything that we've said leads us to a conclusion which I think is revolutionary. And that is that dafka at the moment which expresses the revelation of the apex of Churban, of the most intense destruction, that's the moment that is fitting for Nechama. Mincha, which is the apex of Churban, that's going to be the time for Nachem. And that's what I think the Ramah means here on the same page, at the end of Siman Tov Kuf Nun Zayin, when he writes, "Vaminog ha'poshut she'ein omrim nachem rak b'tfilas mincha shel Tisha B'Av." Why do we insert the paragraph of Nechama of Nachem dafka mincha of Tisha B'Av? Says the Ramah, "Lefisha oz hitzisu eish b'migdash." This is the epitome of avelus, the epitome of Churban, and that's when we ask for Nechama. And this paradox has to be understood, that at the moment that the most intense Churban reaches its apex, that is going to be the moment of Nechama. Churban itself, inherently, in its very roots, is Nechama. And why is that so? We want to do now, Rabosai, is study the insights of Reb David Cohen. Reb David Cohen is Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. He was Masada Kedushin for my children. And he quotes a very fascinating Gemara in Brachos, which you'll see right below the Ramah that we just studied. And in that Gemara, he sees a key to understand and unlock this mystery of the relationship between Churban and Nechama. The Gemara interprets the pasuk, "Nafla lo tosif kum besuas Yisrael." A very, if I could call it, a very depressing kind of a pasuk that comes from the Nevuah of Amos, and seems to describe the ultimate destruction, chas v'shalom, of Besuas Yisrael. And the Gemara says the following. According to one interpretation, this pasuk is describing the Puranios, the destruction, and therefore, since it starts with a nun, it says, "Nafla We've gone down. Therefore, the letter Nun, says the Gemara, is omitted from Ashrei. Every verse in Ashrei starts with another letter of the alphabet, with the exception of Nun, is completely omitted because of this pasuk. However, the Marava, in Marava in Eretz Yisrael, they gave a different perspective on this pasuk, and they understood that this pasuk is Nechama. And they read it like this, Nafla, and then they put a comma. Velotosif linpol od. When it says lotosif, what it means is they will not fall down again. Kum besuas Yisrael. Yisrael will stand up and will be back on its feet. And we look at this Gemara, we seem to get the impression that these two interpretations of the pasuk are polar opposites one of the other. One sees in this pasuk a foretelling of Puranis of evil, and that justifies the absence of the Nun from Ashrei. Whereas the other interpretation, on the contrary, Nafla, but Velo Sosif Linpol Od, Kum Besulis Yisrael, it's a great Nechama. And that seems to be antithetical to the first shot, and even furthermore, one could say it seems to be so far away from the simple reading of the Pasuk to separate the word Nafla from Velotosif. Lotosif, and the next word is kum, and then add in lotosif linpol od. Very strange. Says Reb David Cohen, the key to unlock the mystery of this sugya in Brachos and the two interpretations of the pasuk in Amos lies in the words of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon wants to understand what does it mean when we speak about Sason v'Simcha, and what is the entire thrust of the foretelling by Zechariah Novi of Sason v'Simcha? Says the Vilna Gaon, and you'll see this on page 4 if you want to follow this. It's quoted in this Maimar by Reb David Cohen, and he says the following: Hadyuta Hatachtona shel nefila. When we reach the lowest rung, the lowest level that we can fall to in a deep abyss, he tchilas hakima. That represents the beginning of the climb. When we reach the bottom barrel, that's when we turn upwards. But only when we reach the epitome of churban, the sofa churban. The Sofa Churban triggers off the Tchilas HaGeula. When we can't go any lower down, that's when the Geula begins. We are promised to be uplifted, and that divine promise for Klal Yisrael means that when we reach that Nefila, where we can't go down any further, then we have Avtocha. At that point, there's going to be Tchilas HaKima. There's going to be the beginning of the Geula. And therefore, what the Gemara is telling us in Masechta Brachos is Lo Tosif Kum, right? That's a simple reading of the Pasuk. And why Lo Tosif Kum? Ki Nafla. What does it mean, Ki Nafla? You can't stand up because you've reached the bottom, the Dyuta Tachtona, the lowest rung. But then the Pasuk says, Lotosif linpol, you will no longer be falling. Elakum besulas Yisrael. Now besulas Yisrael, representing Klal Yisrael, will get up and they'll move, climbing higher and higher towards the Geula. Both of these pirushim, both interpretations of the pasuk in Nach, in the Gemara in Brachos, are the same. Whether you take the first interpretation, that this pasuk is talking about the Nefila of Puranos, or you take the second interpretation of Lotosif Linpol Od, Kum Besulis Yisrael, the reason why Lotosif Linpol Od is because you reach the lowest level, the most intense, profound Puranios. But when we reach that sea, that most intense level of Puranios, that's the fulfillment of the condition of Kum Besulis Yisrael, says the Gaon. Because the Sof HaChurban is the Tchilas HaNechama. when he reached the Diyuta Tachtona, that's when the Nefila has terminated. But until that point, the Nefila still goes on. And there's no room for Tchilas Hakima. Says Rav David Cohen, in this article, on page 4, going on to page 5, this is what the Gemara means in Masechta Makis. Surely, Rabbi Akiva had no doubts about the fulfillment of the Zechariah, or the Nevuah of Zechariah Novi, Chas v'Sholom. However, what was he afraid of? What was his chash? He thought that, you know what? Maybe the Churban was not intense enough. Maybe the ground was not yet prepared for Geula. Have we reached the Diyuta Tachtona? Have we reached the Nefila that's most profound? And therefore, when he saw the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, of Tzion, Sada Tichrash, that's when he understood that now we've reached the lowest level, the bottom barrel. The Churban is complete, it's total. Then he understood that there's a possibility now to anticipate, to expect the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Zechariah Novi, of the Geula of Od Yeshu Zekanim Zekanis Berchovus Yushalayim. Therefore, in the first dialogue, Rabbi Akiva doesn't explain why he's laughing until he can answer, until they can answer the question, Madu Atem Bochim. He's not ready to explain the tzchok until they explain the bechi, because it's the bechi and the realization of suffering and anguish that holds the key to fulfill the condition of tzchok. First, you explain to me the bechi, and if that bechi vindicates that we've reached the lowest level possible, then we're ready for the kiyum, for the fulfillment of tzchok. And that's why the Gemara needs the second story in Masechta Makis. It's only after they see the charisha, the total desolation, the desolateness, if there's such a word, the total desecration of the sanctity of Tzion, then Rabbi Akiva could say, look, our bechi is a result of the greatest destruction. It's not only that the Romans are hoopling and they're having fun in the streets and they're taking over our land. No, it's much more profound than that. They've completely entered the Makom HaShechina and destroyed it. It's desolate. Shu'olim holchu bo. Ah, now Rabbi Akiva could point to the Tanoim and say to them, you know, we've reached the lowest level, the Diyuta Tachtona, the Churban has reached its apex. Now that you've seen and envisioned that, now you're ready to understand that the Nechama of Od Yeshvu, Zkenim, Uzkonis, Bechomis, Yushalayim, Uzchari, Novi, that will come to fulfillment. And we begin to understand the double language, back to your question, Eli, of Nichamtoni, Nichamtoni. Why the double language? And here, Rav David Cohen quotes the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzhak Huttner, who says that the word Nechama has two different meanings to it. Number one, Nechama means encouragement and hope and optimism. But number two, there's another meaning to the word Nechama. Nechama means charata. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says ki nichamti, it means I had a second thought about it, I had a change of heart. The root of both these concepts is one and the same. It's charata that can ultimately transform itself into idud v'tikva, into hope. Why is a person hopeful? Why is he optimistic? That optimism can only be justified, it's contingent upon charata. Charata means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you are my people, but I don't think you deserve what the rewards that I had in mind for you. You've gone so far, you've crossed all the red lines with all the sins. I have charata. And once HaKadosh Baruch has charata, that's when we reach the lowest level of nefila. That's when the churban reaches rock bottom. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva repeats the word nichamtani. What he's trying to say is that, you know what? There are two meanings to nechama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnachem, he has a charata, and in that charata, there is nefila, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you know what? I regretted all the rewards, and now I'm going to punish you, but at the same time, I regret the fact that I have to punish you. And when the punishment reaches its apex, then at that point there's going to be a turn. There's going to be a different kind of nechama. A nechama for the fact that we believe and we wait and anticipate the geula. Yes, it is the level of lotosif kum ki nafla, there's nefila. But at the end, it's going to be kum besulas Yisrael. And perhaps that's why Yeshayahu Hanavi opens up with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Yomar Elokeichem, a double Nechama. A double Nechama. And Rav David Cohen adds something very sharp here. He says that in Birkas Hamazon, Chazal made a takona at the time of Yavne to add a fourth bracha called Hatov V'Ametiv to express gratitude for the fact that Haruge Beitar merited Kvura. That becomes part and parcel of our gratitude expressed in Birkas Hamazon. And the Gemara tells us in Tainis, and this you'll see on page 2, on Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph, that Mishachorav Turis Nufos, I don't pronounce it right, sorry, Turis Rufos, Haroshes HaHechel, Nigzagra Gzera Al Rav Gamliel Ariga. There is, in the story of Beitar, a low ebb, a diuta tachtona, the lowest ebb. And at that point, we need some sort of nechama, some sort of message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the effect of kum besulas Yisrael. And that's going to be the fact that Haruge Beitar were given to Kfura. The fact that Haruge Beitar were given to Kfura is the beginning of a turning point. 500,000 Jews perished in Beitar. We've reached the lowest level. This is Churban times two almost. But now there's a change. This kum besulas Yisrael. There was a great miracle, and the bodies were given to Kvura. And now perhaps we can turn back to the Gemara in Yuma that we began with. And the Gemara says that at the moment that the enemies of the Jewish people in Nachrim entered into the Heichal, what did they see? What did they witness? They saw the Kruvim, where Ma'urim Zebas, they were embracing each other. Isn't that the greatest contradiction to the fact that the Gemara Baba Basra, as the Ritva points out, indicates that the symbolic message of Ma'urim Zebas is Osim Ritzono Shel Makom? But the answer is that when the Nachrim Nichtasu LeHeichal, that was the moment in time when we reached the lowest ebb, the lowest rung on the ladder of Churban. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal His love for Klal Yisrael. Dafka, at the moment of Churban, that's when the Ha'oris Panim of Geula begins, when we reach that low ebb. And if that be the case, maybe we can understand the minhagim of Mincha and Tisha B'Av. Dafka at the time of Mincha and Tisha B'Av, when the enemies set the Beis Hamikdash to torch, that is the moment of the apex of Churban. We've reached that bottom low after Chatzos Hayom. That's the moment when there was a Sreifas Hamikdash of Venafla Besulas Yisrael. And that's going to be the moment of turnaround, the moment of Kum Besulas Yisrael, the moment of Nechama, inherent in the Churban, in its most profound state, is Geula, is Nechama. The Zman Shebo Ikar HaChurban, at that moment when the Ikar HaChurban took place, Shenitzesah HaEsh Beveis HaMikdash, that's when we're going to cite Nachem. And why, says the Mishnah Berura, Laharos Nechama Be'evelenu Bo Bayom, on this very day of Churban, we're going to indicate our Nechama. This is the day that Mashiach is born. This is the day where we don't say Tachnun Kiru Alai Moed. This is the day when we omit, even though it's a fast day, Avinu Malkeinu. All of Minhagim indicate that in the afternoon, Mincha time, we've reached the lowest level, the most intense level of Churban. The Beis HaMikdash is burning. That's the moment of Kum Besulas Yisrael. We've reached, as the Gaon calls it, the Diyuta Tachtona. Now we have a promise of Nechama, faith, and optimism in the Geula. And perhaps that's why the Paitan in Elitzion chooses the metaphor of a woman in labor, giving birth. She's going through excruciating, intense pain. She's crying out from the labor pains. Imagine the case of a Besula. She just got married. She didn't even get a chance to consummate the marriage. And she loses her husband. Who could imagine a more intense level of Bechi? The most intense Bechi that you could imagine. And in that Bechi, we have hope and optimism for a brighter future. This woman is giving birth, and in just seconds of time, she will be hugging a tinok, a baby, after all that suffering, in the most joyous moment of a mother with her newborn baby. This Besula, she still has hope to get married a second time, to begin her life all over again. So too, our crying, our grief and mourning intensely on the Bechia of the Churban is going to be a proof that projects us towards faith, optimism for the Geula. And therefore the Gaon says on the Pasuk V'hoya Zaracha Kafara Oretz, that your children, Avraham Avinu, will reach the lowest level of Afara Oretz, which means that people will step on you. That's a precondition to the continuation of that prophecy, Ufaratzta Yomav Akedma Tzafon of Enigma. When we reach that lowest level of Afar Haaretz, like the dust and the dirt on the ground, that's when we can break out and go higher and higher. And you'll see on page 5 the beautiful poetic words of the Sfarno, and this, with this we'll conclude. He writes, Ki Omnam Chuas Hakel Hasida Tia acharov shiflus Yisrael hahove hayom begalusam. The tshua, the great salvation that is inherent in the future, ultimate redemption, is a culmination of the shiflus Yisrael, that we reach the lowest level, or as the Kli Yakar says, almost the same identical idea, Ein Shua Bol Yisrael Kiyim Bizman Shein B'Tachlis HaShiflus. We reach the ultimate level of Shiflus. That's the push-off, if you will, the projectile for Shua and for Yeshua and Geula. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Laila Vayerev, He created darkness, but then vayvoker, and somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that through that choshech, there'll be a revelation of the or, that light that will be revealed from the darkness. It's a very sharp and very profound kind of light. After the Yerid of Klal Yisrael to the Diyuta Tachtona, that's when we begin, Imritz Hashem, on that trip, on that traveling towards Geula, from the night into the bright light, from the darkness of the night to the bright light of the sun. Yiratzon, may it be His will, that now that we've got Tisha B'Av behind us, We're on our way towards Nachamu, Nachamu. We should be zocha to see the or, the light of the Gula Shlema, b'mheirav Yamenu. Amen. I forgot to get back to the Musa Shmuz of Reb Chaim Shulevitz and his understanding of the question as to why the Kruvim were Me'urim Zebazer. And he says in Maimer Pehei that for normal, let's say, boss of Adam, human beings, Ava and Sina are a stira. A person who loves doesn't have any room for hatred. A person who hates has no room for love, for the object of, or the subject of his hatred is love. Those are the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we find that with regard to the greats, let's say, for example, Avraham Avinu, who was commanded to send Yishmael out of the house, we find that there's a combination of both love and what looks like hate at the same time. Because again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Akedah to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu says, Eshneim ani ohev. What's Asher Ahavta? I love Yishmael as well. The same Yishmael that he sends out of the house. But the answer is, there's no stira. Although for most of us there is. But for Avraham Avinu, he has the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he has no negius. He can operate with the midos of Ava, the midos of Sina, you know, whatever is appropriate for that moment. And here's where Reb Chaim, quoting the Ritva, who asks the Kasha, how could it be at the moment that Nochrim Nichtusu Lehechal Ro Kruvim Urim Zebazeh Kosher, says the Ritva, Amrina Bebaba Basra Beshah Shal Yisrael Osim Ritzona Shal Maka Kruvim Pneam Ish El Achiv. It means that the moment of the Churban, when they weren't doing the Ratzon Hashem, yet paradoxically, the Kruvim are Me'urim Zebazeh, says Reb Chaim Muvan. I can explain it. Afal Pisha Ba'osa Shah, at the moment of the Churban, Lo Hoyi Yisrael Osim Ritzonim Shalmok Mikomokom, Kevan Sheba Kadosh Baruch Lahakrav Es Beso, Ula Haglos as Bonov, is Be'osa Shah, Ha'isa Kaviyokal Lefon of Yisbrach, Chiba Gdola, the Ava Yisera Leklal Yisrael. It's unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exhibiting the midah of Din, and yet at the same time, Ava, and there's no stira, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of integration, of everything together. And that's what it means in the parish of Sdom Va'Amora, and he gives other cases where there are two midos that seem mutually exclusive, but yet they coexist in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're coextensive, and they apply at the same time. I just wanted to add 2 points from this essay, this presentation of Rav David Cohen on Churban and Nechama. Point number one, he points out how the Rambam, if you're careful about reading his words in Perakei Melechus Tainius with regard to Tisha B'Av and the five things that took place on Tisha B'Av, he puts special emphasis on Charash Turis Nufus Arasha Es HaHechal, the actual Charisha of the Hechal. And then he says, L'kayim HaShenemar Tzion Soda Tichrosh. He has a special discussion here about the Charisha. He doesn't go into such detail with regard to the other events that took place on Tisha B'Av. Why? And the L'kayim HaShenemar, the Rambam has to quote the Pasuk. There's some sort of ratzon or inyan miyuchad l'kayim hashenemar tzion soda tichrosh. But the answer could be is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see the kiyum of the peronios of tzion soda tichrosh. That's very important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because within the divine plan and scheme of things, that's going to be the nefila to the diuta tachtona. And the lowest level of Churban and destruction, that desolation of the Harabayis as a Mokom Charisha, that itself is the Tchilas Hakima. That's the beginning of the optimism and hope for the Geula. And the Gemara in Tainis that we mentioned earlier, Ksheharash, Turis Rufus, Esa Harosh, Esa Hechal, Nigzor, Gzera, Al Ram Gamliel, Lahariga, this event of the Harisha, the Harabayis, is connected to the lowest level, the destruction of Ram Gamliel. In other words, there's the destruction of the Migdash and the Makom HaMigdash, and then there's destruction of Klali. So Ram Gamliel is the Nasi. He represents the leadership of Keren Yisrael, and the Harisha is the lowest diuta, the lowest level of Churban in terms of the Bayis, and the Hariga of Ram Gamliel represents the lowest level of Churban vis-a-vis Manhigi Yisrael, the Gedolei Yisrael. So the Yesod here is that the Sofa Churban is judged and defined and categorized as the Tchilas HaBinyan, and that's when the Nechama is going to take place, when it reaches the Sofa Churban. And that's why the bracha, as the Gemara says, Memches, in Brachas Memches, of Atovu Meita B'Yavne Teknua Keneged Aruke Beitar. And the answer is, Hatova Meitiv means this is a Tov, a gratitude on the past, but it's also a Meitiv in the future. And why is that? Because this experience of Haruge Beitar really represents the lowest level of destruction as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, within the context, the broader context of Churban, Churban of Yerushalayim, of Tzion, of the Makom HaMikdash, but now we're talking about Churban of Klal Yisrael, and of course, at this point, the Keren Yisrael is cut down. But here, within this Bonei Yerushalayim, within this HaTov HaMeitiv, what we have inherent is the optimism for a glorious future. In the Lila, we have the prediction for Yom, the Bias Gold Tzedek. And that's why HaTov VeHaMeitiv. This is the significance of connecting Haruge Beitar with HaMeitiv, with that future glorious vision of the Geula, of the Gula Shlema, the Gula Sida. That's the Nechama that we're talking about here, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. And that's why, as we said, after Chatzos, at the time of the Sreifa Sahechal, that's when there's paradoxically a Hakola, a more lenient kind of experience of Avelus. That's when we're going to say Tefilas Nachem. That represents, as we said in Avraham Avinu, V'hoya Zarcha Kafar Haaretz, and then Ufaratzta. Then we start our ascent to greatness. The Tshuva Sakel Asida Tiyah Acharak Shiflus Yisrael. We've reached the Shiflus. Perhaps the Holocaust in our modern time is the Shiflus. We're still experiencing Shiflus amongst the nations of the world, and here with terrorism, etc., etc. And therefore we need to see very speedily in our time the beginning of the Geula and the intensification of the Geula. Maybe we're already in the Tchilas HaGeula, but we certainly need the intensification of that Geula, because we've reached the Tachlis HaShiflus, Kuma Ezra Solanu. And Emir Tzashem will see the fulfillment of all the divine promises of Zecharia Novi Yod Yeshvus, Kedem Zekenos. We'll see it here in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Bimheira V'Yameinu. Amen.